Good evening. Thank you for coming out.
The Lord bless us as we
fellowship together, pray together, and hear God's Word. I want to read a couple of short passages. God's Word. First of all, in 1 John chapter 4. First epistle of John chapter 4. And reading at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God.
And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
And this was manifested the love of God toward us,
because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
Herein is love, not
that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also
to love one another. No man has seen God at any time.
If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Back to the epistle by James.
A couple of pages back.
And chapter 2. James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?
1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys should know that?
First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 13.
And now abide your faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let me say at the outset that my little talk tonight was prepared over the last couple of weeks. And perhaps if I didn't say that, you might think it came out of Brother Bernard Osborne's message on Sunday evening. But I took that message as the confirmation of my little talk this evening. Brother Bernard's message on Wednesday evening, on Sunday evening, was from Mark's Gospel chapter 12, mainly concerning the question asked by the scribe, the Pharisee, doctor of the law, concerning which is the greatest commandment. And the Lord Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no greater commandment than these. And the scribe said, thou hast well said. Remember that statement. Well said. For to love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, is more than all whole burnt offerings. And Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. Matthew gives us the same incident, same story, but adds a little more. In Matthew's gospel, the Herodians came to Jesus with a question, a political question. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar or not? And he answered them, show me a penny, whose image and superscription? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. On top of that came the Sadducees. And they asked a domestic question concerning a woman who had seven husbands. They all died, and in the resurrection they said, whose wife is she of the seven? And the Lord answered them and said, you don't understand. In the resurrection, it's different to what it is here on earth. They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels. And then Matthew adds this story. But both Matthew and Mark stop there. Luke, however, gives us the sequel to that story. For in Luke's gospel, the scribe, it says concerning him, willing to justify himself, he was not satisfied with the answer that Jesus gave, willing to justify himself and said, and who is my neighbor? And the Lord Jesus gave the story of what is commonly known as the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came by a Levite, and he passed by on the other side. And then there passed by a priest, and he came and looked at him, and he passed by on the other side. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He saw the man, got off his beast, stooped down, attended to his wound, pouring in oil and wine, lifted him, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn, took care of him, slept with him that night, and when he left the next morning, he gave 2 pence, 2 days' work, to the host and said, take care of this man. When I come back, I'll repay you. What did I say at the beginning? The scribe said, well said. Jesus said at the end of the story in Luke's gospel, go thou and do likewise. On the refrigerator, in the kitchen in our home, we have a little slogan which says, well done is better than well said. The scribe said, well said.
Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. Well done. Well done is better than well said. I just want to put a little practical emphasis on this tonight. You know, it's all well and good to come and hear the Word of God expounded. We gain knowledge. But do we work it into the fabric of our lives, as the English would say, into the warp and woof of our lives, the fabric of our lives? Do we live it? You see, it's one thing to preach it, it's another thing to practice it. Christianity should be seen in its day-to-day work clothes. It needs to be practiced. It needs to be lived out. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, wrote this. He says, love is not a state of the feeling, but of the will. Love is not a state of the feeling, but of the will. You see, we may have feelings toward our brothers and sisters. We may have feelings toward putting into practice our Christianity. But then there must be the will to perform it. There must be the will to put it into practice day by day. And we do have members of our assembly, and there are other Christians. Don't let us limit it to those in our fellowship. Let the branches run over the wall. Who have need? Some are healed. And because of that, they have medical expenses. And we need to consider. We need to think about them. We need to talk with them. We need to visit with them. And as the Americans would say, we need to take a covered dish when we go. Our Christianity must be practiced. It must be practical. You see, it's all very well and good to put people's names in the bulletin for prayer. That's fine. Or to announce their names at the meeting. But if it stays there, if it doesn't go any further than that, we are not carrying out the scriptural injunction. Let us love one another. It has to be demonstrated. It has to be seen. It has to be felt. I hope I'm not coming across as scolding you. I'm seeking to exhort because I'm concerned that we practice what we preach. We practice our Christianity. Paul, writing to the Romans, uses this phrase that the love of God, that this Christian love must be shed abroad in our hearts. And C.S. Lewis said again in that book, Mere Christianity, he says, the whole mass of Christians is the organism through which Christ acts. We are his fingers, his muscles, and the cells of his body. I have a little difficulty sometimes in following C.S. Lewis in some of his writings, but these things, I understand what he's saying. He says, we are the fingers and the muscles of his body.
In other words, we should be touching, we should be demonstrating in a practical way our love. If we have love for our brothers and sisters, especially those in need, then we need to show it in a practical way. In the two verses that we read in 1 Corinthians, first and the last verses, Paul takes the three great virtues of Christianity at the last verse. He begins, and the whole chapter is about love. But then at the end, at the last verse, he takes the three main virtues of Christianity, faith, hope, and love. And he says the greatest of these is love. In other words, the whole of our Christianity, everything combined, the apex, the main part of our Christianity should be love expressed, especially to the household of faith, as Paul says. Do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. I want to leave with you two examples in the scriptures. The verses that we read in James, he gives us a practical example there. He says, if a brother or a sister comes by and they're destitute, they need clothing, they need food, and we say, the Lord bless you, brother, sister. And we give them not those things that they have need of. We don't give them clothing to warm themselves. We don't give them food to feed their hungry stomachs. He says, he uses the word faith there. But it's the same thing. It's an outworking, it's a practical expression of faith, hope, and love expressed in practical love. First in the Old Testament, example number one, 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha the prophet comes into a town. And there's a woman there, and her husband, who receive him. And every time he passes through that town, he finds it convenient and accommodating to be in this home. Humble folk, I take it. So, the wife seems to take the lead. We have to give the sisters credit sometimes for being more alert to needs than we men. I suppose we get occupied with the day-to-day work that we're involved with, and sometimes we can not to think outside of that. But as I said before, we need to let the branches run over the wall. So, she says to her husband, I perceive that this is a man of God. Why don't we make a little accommodation for him on the wall? Just a little place. And we'll put a bed, a stool, and a candlestick, lampstand, and we'll make life a little more comfortable for him and for us. I suppose it was getting a little crowded in a little home there, with four people. She had a son. Eventually she did. So the lady of the house takes the lead and says to her husband, let's do something about this. Let's make this man of God a little more comfortable so that when he comes by, he has a place of his own, he can be quiet, he can rest, and he can be comfortable. And so they did it. Husband and wife working together. And like I say, sometimes the wife will take the lead in making the suggestion. She didn't go ahead and hire a carpenter and a mason, but she spoke to her husband and made him aware of her thinking and aware of the needs of the prophet. So, in a home, husband and wife, whoever has the bright idea, and give the wife the credit for sometimes having that bright idea, they can work together and help. Not only the preachers. The preachers come to Shirley Heights. We have fairly good accommodations there. But you know, it's not sufficient to put them there in the apartment and to leave them and forget about them. They need a little fellowship. They need a little comfort. They need somebody to talk to other than husband and wife. A little time of fellowship around a meal, maybe in the home, or a quiet restaurant. Little times when we sort of we, not talking about the preacher, we let down our hair. You know what I mean? We become ourselves. Here, we are sort of straight-jacketed, you know. It's very formal. But in the home, we're relaxed. And we talk about social issues, domestic issues, and if there are spiritual issues. It's a place where we can converse, where the preacher can listen to us, and we listen to the preacher, and he understands a little more of what's going on with our family. He's a little more intelligent in his prayer life for us. So this couple, their names have gone down in heaven's record as living out their, I'm going to call it Christianity. Christ hadn't come then. But it was their faith in God. It was lived out in a practical way in having fellowship with the prophet of God. And then we come into the New Testament. We have a case of Aquila and Priscilla. You know, with the prophet Elisha, it proved to be the saving of the life of the son, or bringing him back to life. We don't know what good effect times of fellowship with the Lord's servants can have upon our own families. So we come into the New Testament and we have Aquila and Priscilla. We read about them in the book of Acts. And they're mentioned six times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 18, in the first three verses, it tells us that they lodged Paul. They took Paul into their home. Now, Paul apparently did not have a home of his own. There's no record that he had a home of his own. So Aquila and Priscilla took him into their home. And they fed him, I'm sure. And they had a bed for him. And so they had times of fellowship together. And then in verse 18, Paul sailed away from Ephesus. This was in Ephesus. Paul sailed away from Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla sailed along with him. They left their home, and they got on board the ship, and they sailed with Paul as companions for fellowship. We may not do that with the preachers that come by. You know, they go back to their homes, and, well, we stay to our homes. But here was the practical time of comfort and fellowship for the Apostle Paul, that Aquila and Priscilla not only lodged him and fed him, took care of him in their home, but they traveled with him to make it, that trip more comfortable for him. And then again in verses 24 to 26 of Acts 18, a man by the name of Apollo, a young aspiring preacher, came to town. And they heard him preach, Aquila and Priscilla. And they took him home. This is another preacher now. They took Apollos into their home, and it says they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, because he only preached the baptism of John. You remember Brother Bernard commented on that a week or so ago, that the baptism of John was to repentance. But it didn't go much further than that. And so it says, they expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. In other words, they gave him a full-rounded view of the gospel, of the faith which they had come into. And so as Apollos went forth from that meeting, from that time in Aquila and Priscilla's home, he was able to preach not just the baptism of John unto repentance, but a preaching, a gospel that expanded itself to practical living as well. So three times in Acts chapter 18, they lodged Paul, they sailed with Paul, and they instructed Apollos. Three more times their names are mentioned. Romans chapter 16, Paul is writing, and he commends them for helping him and for laying down their nets for him. Can you imagine that? They stood in the breach when Paul's life was in danger. That's practical fellowship, right? They laid down their necks for him. They were prepared to die for the Apostle Paul, if necessary. That's love. That's love. And then, in verse 19, he sends greetings, or they send greetings to Paul. Aquila and Priscilla send greetings to Paul through the Christians in Corinth.
from the church in their house. So it keeps on expanding. They took Paul in. They lodged him. They fed him. They filled with him. They instructed Apollos. And now it says they've had an assembly in their house. Perhaps they didn't have money to build another building. So they had church in their house. So here are Christians, Aquila and Priscilla, who are really demonstrating their Christianity every step of the way, expanding, going from grace to grace. And then the last mention of their name, Paul writing to Timothy, he sends greetings to them through Timothy. 6 times their names are mentioned in the New Testament. 3 times, Aquila and Priscilla. 3 times, Priscilla and Aquila. 3 times, Aquila's name is first. 3 times, Priscilla's name is first. Husband and wife, a lesson for us. We need to be balanced. We need to work in harmony with each other. And working in harmony with each other, with God's ministry, the work at the chapel here, other expansions of the work, working together, Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla and Aquila, then God will bless that union and bless the ministry of that family. So, what am I to learn from this? Well, I'm to learn that Christianity needs to be put into practice. It needs to have on its working clothes. It needs to be seen. It needs to be felt. Well done is better than well said. May God help us. Speaker, first of all, may God help us to do that, to live out, to practice, to express it. Not just to have the emotions of love, but to have the expression of love, a demonstration of that love, especially to the household of faith, including the servants of God and others that have special needs. That is within our ability to help. Little as much if God is in it. Doesn't have to be $1,000. The expression of a little to a person in need is just like $1,000. What the Lord Jesus said at the end of Matthew chapter 25 primarily applies to those who help the 144,000 during the tribulation, that he will separate the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left, and he will say to those on his right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. And they'll say to him, Lord, we don't remember this. We don't remember seeing you in our travels. And he will say to them, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it unto me.
I think the lesson is clear. It may not strictly apply to the church, but I wouldn't be surprised if those words are not said at the judgment seat of Christ. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's then. You are endeavored to practice what we preach. Seek day by day to live out the things that we say we believe. Now let's pray. Father, sometimes thou hast strong medicine for us. We accept it as from thyself. And the apostle could say, it is not expected beyond what we have. Nevertheless, it is expected according to what we have. Pray that we will consider the words of the Lord Jesus, the words of the other apostles and writers, John and James and Paul, and seek to honor thee as we live out day by day our Christianity in a practical way, showing love, compassion, kindness to those of the household of faith as we have opportunity. Thank you for this time together, Lord, of Salva, thy blessing, and give thanks for all things in the Savior's precious name. Amen.